The book of Jeremiah this evening, if the Lord would help us for a little while. I'm trusting the Lord would speak to us. I've got some things on my heart, and, you know, it's a really familiar chapter, familiar verses, and actually just one major verse that I want us to look at. But, my wife's grandfather. He lived to be 104 years of age. And he was an old-time Nazarene believer. And I might have told you some things about him before. He was unique. He believed in old-time holiness. He believed in living separated from the world. In fact, don't file out with me yet, but they came around one time and they were trying to sell folks those television things. Hook him up with a television line, you know, with those instead of the antennas and stuff. What do they call those things? I knew some of y'all would know that. he said, "We don't have television." And they said, "What? You don't have a TV?" "No." And they said, "You are the only person in this whole town that we know of that doesn't have one of them things." I mean, this guy, now, you know, oh, I done lost about half of you already, I can tell. But he was one of these. Now, he didn't even believe in playing checkers because it was worldly. He didn't believe in playing, he wouldn't let the kids play homemade cards because it was sinful. They wouldn't go out to eat on Sunday. They wouldn't buy anything on Sunday. He would stay up late on Saturday night and shave so he didn't have to work on Sunday because of honoring the Lord's Day. Now, that might seem kind of far-fetched, and I don't go along with everything that he did. Of course, now we, you know, they call us every once in a while wanting for our cell phone. They want to go ahead and add TV for us, and they're amazed that we don't have one either. It's something. But but when I tell them we don't have one, says what? What do you do for entertainment? I'm glad you ask. Go to church. What do you do for fun? We go to church. What do you do for excitement? We go to church. What kind of church you go to? It's a Pentecostal church. What do you do for relaxation? Go to church. What do you do? Amen. Now, you know, listen, I know we don't go to church continuously. When pastor said something today about coming to church, I said, "Well, if I feel up to it, I'll try to come tonight." Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. But I'm just funning with you right now. Y'all know that, don't you? If you don't, just hold on a little bit and you'll find out a little bit more about it. But, you know, I do want us to look at these scriptures because I feel like this evening that there's something that I believe that God wants to talk to our hearts about today. I'm in Jeremiah chapter 6 and going to read verse 16. I better get there first. Chapter 6 and verse 16. I might do 17 also. But here's what it says. Are you ready? Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths. Everybody say old paths. Where is the good way? Everybody say good way. And walk therein. And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. In verse 17, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Would you ask the Lord to help us tonight? Father, I just ask you to speak to our hearts this evening. Lord Jesus, we need your anointing. We need your presence. We need your help. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts in a mighty way, Lord. Help us, O God, to be stirred for you, Lord, and to hear what you would have to say to us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen, amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. What I want to talk to us about tonight for a while. And that means you probably better buckle your seatbelt because we're fixing to take off. Praise the Lord. I want to preach to us tonight about the old time religion. The old time religion. Amen. We're living in a day that there's everything is new. And everybody wants something new. We like to have new things, and you know there are certain things. It's nice to have things that are new. I was thinking today it was kind of warm. It got up to about 90 something, and I got to tell you, those air conditioning units feel pretty good. But some of us might be old enough, as Pastor Dunn mentioned, how old that I am. But some of us might remember going to church when we didn't have an air-conditioned building to have church and to worship in. I mean, we used to sweat. I remember the first one of the churches when they got one of these little, it was a pretty good sized church, but they got one of these little tiny window air conditioners and they put it up front, and that kind of helped the preacher stay a little bit cool. But it didn't do a whole lot for the worshipers. But there was times, aren't we glad that we don't have to sweat when we come to church? In fact, it'd probably be good for some of us to work up a sweat when we go to church. I told you, buckle your seatbelt. It might do us some good to have a little bit of that perspiration. It might do some of us a little good to just break out in a perspiration thing of worship sometime. Amen. But I like new inventions. I like new things. I like getting a new car and I like getting a new, what was that y'all got me for my birthday? Yeah, they got me something new for my birthday and I had one before. And I can't wait to put it together. I'm probably going to have Pastor come over and help me do that. But anyway, it's an ice chest, you know. It's an age of inventions. It's an age of innovations. It's an age of new things. I remember the first cell phone that, I was at work and I had to be on call every once in a while. And the cell phone that they gave us, if we went away from the house, we had to carry that. It was about this big. And it had an antenna on it, and you had to stick that up. And I mean, you carried that thing. It looked like I hate to go anywhere with it because maybe it looked like I was carrying a purse around. You know, or a suitcase, something like that. But they were big. And the computers. And I mean, we got these little, you know, everybody's got computers in your pocket these days. But I remember that first Apple that I had, and it was a portable one, and it was about like this, and had to have a case to carry it around. When I was working on some of my college work, I had to have that thing going places, I'm glad that they've made some new things. But I want to talk to us a little bit because, listen, there's some of these old things are still pretty good. Some of the old things are still all right. Can you say amen? However, we really need to take some inventory and we need to ask ourselves at times, what is so wrong with when it comes to the old time religion? I mean, we want to put new things on the face of the church as far as what we're doing. To what does it take to draw a crowd? Remember when it used to, have y'all ever been, I've been in those revivals where we'd had over 100 saved. The revival went for 8 weeks and 125 some saved. I don't know how many got the Holy Ghost. And it wasn't because we had a moving worship team. It wasn't because we had flashing lights. It wasn't because we had all the frills and the thrills, but it was because of the old time religion that was at work in the hearts and the lives, and God sent revival. Can you say, send it on down, Lord? Send it again. But we've got an age in our Pentecostal movement where we're wanting something new and different and more exciting. What's wrong with the old time religion, I'll ask us. What is wrong with the old-time way of worship? It drew folks then to salvation. It drew folks then to an experience with God. I mean, they get in an altar and they prayed until God came to them. And there was not a doubt, they got saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look, what is wrong with that old-time proven way of living for God? What is wrong with something that has worked all these years? But we've got to have entertainment. Oh, let's entertain them. Let's do something that's going to just make them feel good. Remember when the preacher preached hell so hot that you felt the heat? Remember when they preached hell that it was a reality? Remember when we preached heaven? I mean, heaven is high and hell is hot. Amen. Remember those days? I mean, heaven was so real to us. We didn't have time for all the other stuff. We wanted Jesus. We wanted heaven. We wanted reality. Have we lost something in our culture today? Have we lost something in our Christian, in our relationship by when we left the old time way? I still believe in it. I still believe in loving God. I still believe that folks ought to love one another. I still believe in this old time religion. Hallelujah. Amen. But we think that we've got to have a new message. We want to feel good. Preacher, preach us.
Well, y'all want to hear my statement about that? If loving God don't make you happy, there's nothing I can do for you. If falling in love with Jesus don't do something to make you feel good, there's not a thing this preacher is going to be able to do to help you in any way until you get that old time. Thank God for the old time religion. It still works today. The emphasis is on, I know methods can change, but the message should never, never, never change. We've got an age that folks, I mean, you know, they can't understand the good old book. We got to have every new version. Oh, what was that crazy one somebody was looking at on showed me, and I looked it up. It was some crazy things in there. But you know, thank God. Can I say, hey, if my granny with no education at all could understand what King James Version was saying, she could understand it. What is the matter that college educated and high school educated people can't understand what this Word of God says? Because we want something modern. We want a new way of things. We want a new way of doing it. We want a new message. Praise God. Well, I want to move on right here because I probably lost about three or four of you. Glad I didn't lose all of you. Some of you are still with me, I can tell. Praise God. If you're still with me, smile. Okay, wait a minute. I'm looking. Okay, somebody good eyesight, look around there and be sure everybody's smiling. Praise God. Amen. But we're still talking. Let's talk about this old-time religion for a little bit. What is different about the old-time religion? I'm going to hit a few things here. I believe the preaching of the Word of God in the old-time way. Now, I believe in education. I believe in learning. I believe in studying. I believe what the Bible says. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Amen. But you know what? If somebody stands and preaches the Word of God under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and they never got through the sixth grade, amen, it'll speak to my heart. Hallelujah. I want a preaching that is preaching the Word of God. What is our preaching? 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 says, Paul was saying to Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Oh, pastor. Don't tell me how I ought to live. You ever heard that one? They're too strict over there at Broadway Assembly. They don't want us to do everything. Some of us doing a whole lot more than what we ought to be doing. Shout now. Rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. We don't like to be rebuked. We don't like somebody to say, straighten up. Hallelujah. Straighten up. They used to, our old pastor used to say, it doesn't matter when you get excited and you're worshiping the Lord and you're shouting or whatever. He said, I don't care how high you jump, just so your feet walk straight when you hit the ground. That's pretty good instruction, isn't it? But we don't like those words, but this is what Paul told Timothy to do. Preach that word. Be instant in season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. What is the doctrine? I've heard folks say, well, we don't have to have doctrine anymore. What is doctrine? That's biblical teaching. That is what this word says. That's what it's about. It's the teaching. So let's talk. Preach the word. Hallelujah. Preach the whole counsel of the word of God. Paul said again in Acts, said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel of God. What is preaching anyway? What kind of preaching? Well, let's talk about that for a little bit. Let's talk about salvation. Let's talk about healing. Let's talk about the tenets of the Pentecostal faith, the things that we used to believe with our whole heart. We are saved how? By the blood of Jesus. Amen. We are saved by that. We used to teach and we used to preach and we used to live. Sanctification. Yes, it is a one-time thing, but it is also a continuous thing. Sanctification simply means I have separated myself from the world and I want to be more like Jesus. Can you say amen? Hey, we want to just get so close to the world that we want to be accepted. And we don't like to hear that we ought to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. God said, Jesus said, the Word of God says not to be like them. Somebody said, I gotta be like them to win them. Huh? Let me call up my friend Joe here. And, hey, Joe, how about come to church with me on Sunday morning? Well, if you'll go with me to the party down at the X Club on Saturday night, I'll go with you. You really think you're going to win that guy to the Lord? No way. Not by doing and not by being and not by... Help us, Lord, today. Sanctification, being separated from this world. That means I don't want to be like them. That means I don't want to go where they go. That means, I feel one right here. Amen. I mean, we'll go. We are so sports-minded, so sports-crazed. Personal conviction or biblical conviction? Is it a conviction? Now, I know where I'm at. I know I'm here. I know I'm here in Northern Ohio. And I know that we've got the Indians. And I know we got the Cavaliers. And I know we got the Browns and all this. Who? Y'all smile at me. Who are those teams' greatest financial supporters? the alcohol industry. Well, if you ain't going to shout, I think I will. Woo! Glory. But why do Christians want to support that kind of thing? I haven't figured it out yet. I've been trying for years to figure it out. I've been trying to sort it out. But God says, the word of the Lord says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. That means we don't do everything that they're doing. If there's not a change, what is there? What is different, brothers and sisters, between the way I live and the way my friends at work live? Oh, hold on. It's tight, but it's right. Aren't y'all glad I'm not the pastor tonight? You can fix it. You can fix it Wednesday night. But ooh, I have heard language coming from the mouths of some church members and church attendees at Broadway Assembly that if I had said when I was a kid at home, my mama would wash my mouth out with soap when I was 17 years of age. But it's okay because everybody else is doing it these days. It's not okay. And it's not right. I don't care if everybody in town is saying it. Watch your mouth, young folks and old folks. I'm smiling right now. Can y'all see me smiling? Watch what we say. I believe it's a close walk, and I think it's a lot closer than what most folks believe that it is. Now, I know. Yes, I know. I'm still talking about sanctification, aren't I? Do we quit doing everything as soon as we get saved? Most folks don't. I mean, there are folks I know that struggle with smoking because it becomes such a habit and such a part of them that they struggle with it for years. There's other things that they struggle with and have, and I understand that. There's times, I mean, you know, a baby doesn't just, when it's born, just jump up and start running right off the bat. So same it is with a baby Christian. A young Christian, sometimes, I know there's an instantaneous thing, but I also know there's some things that we got to work on. And I don't know what it's like with you, but I find out when I think I've got one thing conquered, there's something else to jump up. And we got to conquer that. Still talking about old time religion and the preaching that goes along with it. The preaching that as Jeremiah had done, it was fiery preaching. It was preaching that would say, anybody ever read about the old time revivals that they had, Cane Ridge, Kentucky, when revival broke out? I mean, the revivals that happened in the Presbyterian churches, the days gone by, the great revivals, outpourings that happened. I remember reading about the one and knowing some folks that were involved in the one there at Asbury Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky, back in the 60s. I know preachers that of United Methodist churches that got filled with the Holy Ghost and set on fire for God during that revival, and it carried on into their churches, and it carried on in, and amen, they began, do you realize that the old-time Methodists were holiness people? The old-time Presbyterians were holiness people? The old-time Pentecostals were holiness people? What does that mean? That simply means that there was a standard of living that they came out from the world and lived for God. What does that mean? When folks get saved, there needs to be a change. What does the Word of God says? say? If any man, woman, boy, or girl, be in Christ, they are a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away. Those old things. The old man dies. But we still want to keep him resurrected. Every time that the Lord comes by and the Holy Ghost comes by and tries to kill something out of us, we want to keep that thing resurrected. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to live it. We don't want to accept that. But the Word of God is true no matter what the world says about it. And it really doesn't matter what so-called Christian TV says about it either. The Word of God is true. Listen. We need to, I believe, have a greater unction in the pews, and we need to have more action in the pews. We need Holy Ghost anointing that will flood our souls, that will cause us to be separated from the things that I'm talking about, the old time religion this evening. I'm talking about coming out from among them. This is just part of it. I'm just getting started. Fearful preaching. I said we used to preach hell so hot that conviction came because people didn't want to go to hell. I want to tell you, there's a real hell that burns continuously. But we've got teaching today that, oh, it really doesn't matter what you do. This, I think Pastor mentioned this morning about universalism, that everybody, all good dogs go to heaven. No, they don't. All good people do not go to heaven. It takes regeneration by the blood of Jesus Christ and faith in Him. That is where our salvation is. We got to know that. There are certain things I believe that are cardinal beliefs to the church of the living God. Salvation by the blood of Jesus. Confession of sin. Trusting Him. Knowing that there is a devil's hell. I'm talking about sanctification is one of them. I'm talking about, we used to preach healing so strong. Thank God for that testimony today, this evening, that brother gave, that somebody got healed. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for healing? Praise God. Do we believe it? Well, granted, it's a whole lot easier to go ahead and take a couple Tylenol and just numb that devil than it is to pray the prayer of faith and get a hold of God for something. God still heals, you know that? Yes, people still die. Yes, everybody doesn't get healed. And eventually, everybody's going to die unless the Lord comes first. But I know we prayed for folks and was sure that God was going to heal them. But they died. But I'm talking about the fiery preaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We preach these things. We teach these things. Amen. We know that there are stories. You look in Acts chapter 4 and verse 8 through 13, where then Peter filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, rulers and elders and people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness that was showed to this man who was lame. You know, the church used to have power. We could say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they did. What happened? Did God quit? Did Jesus quit doing it? Brothers and sisters, in my day, I have seen things, and some of you have too. I have seen things with this old time religion where folks could get a hold of God and healings took place. I have seen cancers fall off faces. I have seen the tumors go out of the belly. I have seen and I've known brain tumors that were healed. My mother is an example. I think I told you about that. It happened to my mother when I was just a kid. I saw it. I knew it happened. There are those, and some of you right here, you have experienced this anointing, this power of God for healing. We believe God for our salvation. We believe God for healing. We believe God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives them the utterance. Yeah, I've been there with this new wave where they said, now you just say what I say and you'll have the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah. You know, I've been around. I've been around. I've seen stuff. And it's just been stuff. It's been stuff. Give us the real power of God that will set at liberty those that are in captivity. Give us the real power of God that when God speaks, that lives are going to be changed. Amen. Give us the real power of God that when folks come into our assembly, when folks come through these doors, they're going to feel something, they're going to know something because there's something different about us. We've got the power of God that's at work in us. We know His power. We've experienced His power. We know the Holy Ghost anointing. Oh, God, give us that outpouring. Now look what they said there in Acts chapter 4. They said, these are just unlearned and ignorant men. They were astonished. But here's what a part of that last verse says. They took note that these men had been with Jesus. Does your neighbor know that you've been with Jesus? Does the man and woman you work with know that you've been with Jesus? Do your kids know that you've been with Jesus? Do your friends know that you've been with Jesus? Because when you've been with Jesus, there's a transformation that takes place. And there's a power of God that is at work in our lives. There's something happening when we've been with Jesus. Have you been with Him today? I fear that we get so caught up and so wrapped up with everything out there that we really haven't had time to be with Jesus. I believe, friend, that we can be with Him in such a way, hallelujah, that they used to say that when you really get it, even the dog knows that you got saved. Fiery preaching. Preaching that is right down the line, regardless of what the outcome is. Thank God for a preacher that preaches the power of God and preaches against sin and preaches against worldly living. Don't get mad when the preacher says that what you're doing is wrong, especially if it is. Hallelujah. The old-time religion. Let's talk about the old-time religion. That's the introduction. Now you ready to go on for part two and part three and part four? The old-time religion. The old-time Christians. Oh, they got excited about serving the Lord. Sister Jones, I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. Catch on fire. Catch on fire. I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. Fill with the Holy Ghost. How long has it been since you got excited about Jesus? Camp meeting, camp blessing last year. Woo! I mean, we got in, didn't we? Revival, power surge last year. Boy, we had a move of God, didn't we? Oh, that's right, we didn't have a spring revival this year, so we didn't get in, did we?
Oh, I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. Getting excited about Jesus. Getting excited about what he... Oh, but that's just... I can't stand that noise. Let me know that they make some pretty good drugs these days. Ativan, Valium, some of those kind of things for people that get too nervous about noise. If the church got as excited about worshiping the Lord as what we would when the Cavs win. Now tell me about noise for a minute. If the church would get as excited about serving Jesus as what we get when our team makes the touchdown. Boy, you're really getting quiet. What is the process for excommunication of a minister, a preacher that gets to... We get excited about stuff, don't we? What excites you? Tell me, what really excites you? Oh my, Miguel's already leaving on me. See, you can't bless him, brother. What gets us excited? What thrills us? What stirs us deep inside? Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about the old-time religion that gets us excited. Pentecostal people should be so full of the joy of the Lord. John chapter 15 and verse 11. These things, Jesus said, these things I spoke unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. When was the last time that you got such joy in church that you squealed and you hollered and you jumped? Now, ladies, you've been wanting a nice, beautiful, shiny new car. And tomorrow evening after work, Sister Deanna, Brother Tony is going to bring you, he's going to drive a brand new one to you. It's going to be a Lexus, the one you've always been looking at and been wanting. And he says, this is yours. I went ahead and had to put in your name. And Sister Deanna is going to say, oh, thank you, Tony. I really appreciate that. You know, you're so thoughtful. Thank you for blessing me with this new Lexus. How do you think you would react to that? First, you'd probably think he's off his rocker. But how would you react to that? After you pick yourself off the floor and you jump? You mean you jump like that? Or like that? Woo! Something like that? I'm talking about getting excited about Jesus. That your joy might be... Joy
joy, joy, joy. What is joy? Some folks don't even know what it is to feel joy in the Lord, because there's some folks who are miserable in church. Excited Christians should be full of zeal. The kind of zeal that says, oh, get home. In fact, I can't wait until I get home. Let me get my cell phone. Oh, let me go ahead. Let me just go ahead and text while the preacher's preaching here. Well, it wouldn't be the first time. But as soon as church is over, let me tell you, friend. Let me tell you what happened to me tonight. I got so full of the Lord that I was running and I was a dancing and I was a shouting and I was having a great time. We had such an awesome presence of the Lord in our service at Broadway Assembly. Oh, you ought to have been there. The joy of the Lord. But you know, I've just got so much of the joy of the Lord. It's just oozing out of me. Can't you tell? You know, it's just oozing right out of me. It's just, you know, I just want you to know. I just feel such joy. I'm so excited. I'm so excited about serving the Lord. I'm so excited about my church. And I just, you know, and then I go to work tomorrow night, and I'm going to tell somebody, you know. You really need to come to my church because our church is such full of joy. Can't you just tell it, son? Our church just, you know, they just get so excited because they just love folks and they just worship and they just sing and they lift up their hands and they smile and they laugh. And thank you, Brother Seth. I like that smile, man. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. I'm talking about the church with the old time religion. Have a cause. We need to have a cause. You realize that folks without a cause, they're depressed people. People without a cause always end in a defeatist attitude. We got to have a cause. Why are you living? Got to have a cause. I have known folks that were diagnosed with terrible diseases. And maybe Sister Denise might know some folks like that. But I've known them, and they have held on till they could see a child graduate from high school. Or they've held on till they could see that grandchild born. They had a cause. They live for that cause. They live for something. What are we living for in the house of God? Are we living for a cause? I have a cause. I have a cause that I live my life for Jesus. I have a cause that I live in this old-fashioned way because I believe it is the best way. It is a good way. It is a victorious way. Hallelujah. Now, I'm moving right on down, and I want to talk about Just a couple more things here, and I'm going to close. But the old-time religion. In the New Testament, they were persistent. They were persistent because of a personal salvation. Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it's not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I've got a cause. Hallelujah. I've got a persistence. My faith is persistent. I know I've been saved. I know I'm not the man I used to be. I don't want to go back. there the way I used to. I don't want to live the way that I used to live. I want to live a persistent life for Christ to win others for Him. Because, listen, that removes the burden of sin. How many of you remember the day that your sins were rolled away? I remember when my burdens rolled away. I had carried it for years, night and day. Remember that? But one day at the cross, that burden was lifted. Amen. And if you're still carrying that burden of sin, you can get rid of it tonight. Amen. We some folks want to rationalize everything in life. But there's a realization of the blessing of salvation, saved by the blood of Jesus, because of the promise of a Savior. That's the old time religion. Because we're going to live in heaven with Him. Stand with me if you will. Oh my. The old time religion. Why do folks who live this old time way, why do we serve the Lord? Because we love Him. Because we love Him. Because we love Him. Hallelujah. We surrender to His will. We give ourselves to Him. How many of us can say, it's not my will, but thine be done? Oh, it's so easy to want what we want, isn't it? You know how kids are. I want what I want when I want it, and I want it right now. But what does God want for us? I want to tell us something. The Lord Jesus has the very best in store for every one of us. And it comes in totally, completely being sold out to Him. Giving ourselves to Him. Hallelujah. Because, hey, listen, there's perishing folks out there that we want to lead to Calvary. There are those out there, maybe there's somebody right here tonight, that you have never come to that real, personal walk, relationship with Jesus Christ. What is the old time way? What is the old time religion? I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. It's not by reading a self-help book. It's by trusting the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What else is considered or is necessary? I believe Him. I've confessed my sins to Him. I didn't go to the priest. I didn't go to the pastor. I didn't call up whatever, but I went to Jesus and I confessed my sin to Him. I believed, and I do believe. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a hell. I believe there's redemption for all men and women. I believe there's a heaven that we can go to. And I believe there's a joyous experience that we can have right here and now, if we'll just surrender ourselves to Him. You know the reason a lot of folks don't have victory? They haven't fully surrendered themselves to God. I believe the reason a lot of folks don't have the joy of the Lord that I've been talking about, they don't have this experience, the old time religion, because we still want to hold on to the world here and still be a Christian. It just doesn't work that way. I believe with God it's all or nothing. We don't pick and choose what we're going to believe. I've heard some folks say, well, yeah, y'all preach that and that's in there, but I think that's an error. I think that's a wrong scripture. Either it is or it isn't.
and it's either the whole book or none of it. If you pick and choose what you want to pick and choose, it's not going to work for you. It's the whole counsel of God. This evening, what does old-time religion mean to you? To me, it means victory. To me, it means joy, unspeakable and full of joy, full of glory. To me, it means encouragement. To me, it means fellowship. To me, it means love one for another. To me, it means Jesus first above all things. To me, it means His Word more than anything else. Amen. I don't know what we have need of here this evening, but I just want to open these altars, whatever, just invite everyone that will, whosoever will, to come this evening. Let's spend some time here in the presence of the Lord. Let's just pray it. Pray it through. Pray it clear through. You got problems? Pray them through. You got situations? Pray them through. You got anxieties? Give it to the Lord. Amen. Everyone that will, come on as they play and sing.
Oh,